Welcome to the Arkansas Baptist Women Podcast. On this season, we will talk about the beauty of belonging to a gospel-centered, like-minded community that shapes and encourages us to love God and to be present in our calling.
We are excited to sit down with different women from all stages of life and hear what God is doing in their life in an area of ministry that God has called them to. Join us as we find encouragement in the work and presence of God as He is reflected through casual conversation around coffee and authenticity.
Today, we get to sit down with Hunter Belis. Hunter is a mom of four kids. She currently lives in Northwest Arkansas with her husband and is a writer, an author, a speaker, and just someone that you are going to find just true friendship with as we get to just hear her heart. So welcome.
Thank you, friend. It's so fun to be here.
Yes, we are so excited. Today we are sitting down and we're going to talk through just discipleship and what is discipleship built on and what should it be built on. So, Hunter, share with us. I think recently I was on your podcast, Journey Women Ministries or Journey Women Podcast, and you said something like this, that discipleship is dependent on theology and theology is dependent on discipleship. And so where did that originate? Where did that come from? What is God teaching you as you really do believe that discipleship has got to be theological and theology really does play a big part in our discipleship process?
Yeah, well, I actually was having a conversation with my friend Natalie Brand, and she's wonderful. She's an author in the UK, and she has a book called, Priscilla, Where Are You? I always get the title wrong, but the subtitle is A Joyful Call to Theology. And so she and I were chatting about theology and why women need theology, which if you haven't talked about theology much, theology is just very simply the study of God. So why do women need to study who God is? And we were chatting about Titus because my friend Courtney Doctor and I have this new Bible study that just released with Lifeway called Titus, Displaying the Gospel of Grace. And Natalie was talking about how in Titus, we see Paul writing to Titus, and he doesn't really separate this idea of theology and doctrine and sound living or Christian living. Like, it's all kind of enmeshed together. You see that particularly in Titus 2, where, you know, in verse 1, he says, but you are to proclaim things consistent with sound teaching. And then he goes into this whole, like, detailed description of how we ought to do life together in the context of the local church. So he's got this, like, umbrella of sound teaching. And then what does it look like for us to live together in the local church under the authority of God's word? And so we have this kind of enmeshment of sound teaching and theology. What's the primary way that we know God? Well, it's through his word. And then sound living and how we ought to be doing life together in such a way that we're investing in one another so that we can, as Titus 2 verse 10 says, adorn the gospel of God, our Savior. And so we were talking about that, and she came out with that incredible quote that theology is dependent on discipleship and discipleship is dependent on theology. And I think what she meant is that really our understanding of who God is, our understanding of who God is so influential in our discipling relationships. And then at the same time, our understanding of who God is so influenced by the way that we are doing life together, if that makes sense. So that's where the quote kind of came from. And I do love it because I think that our discipling has to be centered around God's word.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And so I loved you define theology. And so first, theology is, it's the study of God. And it's the process of uncovering the truth of God from scripture. So it's the word of God. And then second, what is discipleship? And I think that you have coined a phrase that you keep repeating over and over again. And I think maybe it's in the study that you're talking about that discipleship is teaching and training in godliness in the context of a relationship.
That's right.
Right, right. And so what would you say, how does theology inform your discipleship? You kind of hit on that a little bit, but practically, like, how does the study of God's word inform relational living?
Yeah, 100%. I'm going back to Titus because I know it so well after having written the study, but I love how in Titus 2 verse 3, since this is an audience of Christian women in Arkansas, we have specific instruction for how we ought to go about discipleship as women in the church. And Titus 2 verse 3 tells us that older women are to teach what is good. And then they kind of, Paul goes into kind of this list of characteristics. And so when I'm talking about how discipleship is teaching and training in godliness in the context of relationship, all of those characteristics can kind of be summarized as godliness. Mm-hmm. And how do we grow in godliness? Well, we can only grow in godliness by knowing God himself. And how do we know God? Well, we know God through his son, Jesus. And so the gospel really is the root that produces that fruit. And mm-hmm. so often in discipling, what I see is that we become too fixated on that list of godly characteristics. Mm-hmm. We become so fixated on what we ought to do that we forget who we are to be as those who have been transformed by the grace of God, and that only the gospel actually can produce the fruit that we hope to see. And that's what we see in Titus over and over again. In verse 1:1, we see that the knowledge of the truth leads to godliness. So the gospel is the root, and that godly behavior that we're hoping to see in the lives of the women that we are investing in is the fruit that only the gospel can produce. So why is theology important in discipling? Well, it's because we want to continually be taking the women that we are investing in back to God's good word so that we can actually help them discern what is good, as Titus 2:3 says. Mm-hmm. And we know that only God alone is good. And how do we know that good God? Well, we know him by going to his word. So theology is dependent on discipleship, and discipleship is dependent on theology, because Amen. That is what our discipleship relationships ought to be characterized by, is helping women go to God's good word for everything that we need, because we know we find everything that we need in God's word.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good. And so the next kind of question that we answer, and this might mm-hmm. be one of my favorite questions as we talk through this together, is that how does discipleship shape your theology? Mm-hmm. And I love that, because it really is in yes. those relational circles, those relationships that we really are living out godliness yes. together, that our theology is refined. And so yeah. what would you say and share about that? Talk about that. What and how is discipleship together in close relationship with other women? How does it shape our theology?
Oh my goodness. Well, you get to see like theology embodied, you know, mm-hmm. like you get to see a woman who is finding her hope in the Lord and whose life has been transformed by the gospel, living out those gospel realities in whatever hardship she's facing. And I can tell you, I feel like I read these things in the text, but then seeing another sister embody like hoping in the Lord in the midst of great trial and tribulation in her life, like that, man, it just puts flesh on all of it for me. And it helps me to remember on the hard days, like, hey, you know, if my sister here was able to continue hoping in the Lord when she faced that hardship, then I can continue to face this light and momentary trial, you know, with the same joy and perseverance that she did by God's grace. And so, I think we're just able to encourage one another, you know, just by doing life together. I have you experienced that? I mean, I feel like when I'm singing theological truths in our church on Sunday, I look to my right and to my left, and like these truths are true. And yet to see the women that I know have various hardships in their life singing out those truths in the midst of those hardships, like that just really bolsters all of it for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think oftentimes obviously I would not be the disciple I am today without, or growing in this discipleship process without those around me, you know, yeah. that even though, and too, like I am sharper because of the relationships mm-hmm. that I've committed to. But I think oftentimes we talk through this and it can sound so pretty, you know, and it can sound oh, yeah. so good. And we read these texts and we want to pray these over our lives, and we want to walk in the light and truth of this every single day. And it really is our deepest hope and our deepest desire to do this well for ourselves and for our families and for our kids. But it oftentimes takes a lot of work. Oh, and yeah. so what would you say, just the, like how you've seen, just you've had to be very intentional, very strategic, have had to carve out, just specific time to be able to sit with God and just really glean and intake and just feast on His word, but also the relational part, how you mm-hmm. prioritize making sure that you are discipling mm-hmm. others and that your heart's being discipled and your heart is being just fed in community with other women mm. around the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Mark Dever's take on this. He says something along the lines of, like, we can only make disciples if we are disciples of Christ. And I have to remind myself of that continually because I do love the work of discipling others. Mm-hmm. But I have to remind myself, like, who am I following? Like, I can only lead and encourage these other women to look to Christ insofar as I am looking to Christ myself.
Right.
And I think motherhood is such a great picture of that, you know, like we just constantly have little people around us needing us to be investing and instructing and teaching in godliness, training in godliness. And it's so constant. I don't know about you, but I like want to open up my Bible and feast on its truths. But so often it's just there open on the counter, you know, ready for me to come to it. And yet I have these constant interruptions. And so in some ways, though, I think it serves me well, back to what we were discussing when Paul was writing to Titus and all of the kind of theology and life is just so enmeshed together. And just a reminder that, like, what is our purpose here? Our purpose is to glorify God. And so I get to do that and I can take a little tiny bit here and, you know, read what I can in the moment and then I can turn and I can offer that good, you know, gospel kind of biblically rich truth to the person who's next to me. And I'm reminding myself constantly that I don't have to know everything good in order to teach something good. Mm-hmm. And just the reminder that, like, I need to continually be in God's good word, even if I can't open up my Bible and study it to the extent that I want, but if I can find little ways throughout the day just to continue looking to God in His word, then that's going to enable me to be able to turn then and to offer those truths to the women that I'm investing in. I have a friend who is actually a missionary overseas with the SBC. I can't say where she was. And she has such a heart for evangelism. And I remember asking her, like, what was the method? Like, how did you go about, you know, sharing the good news mm-hmm. of the gospel with people in this context, you know? And she just said, you know what I had to do? She said, I had to just fill up on God's word mm-hmm. so that when I was talking, God's word would just be spilling out. Mm-hmm. And that has been such a great model for me of discipling. Like, really, I've got to be drinking deeply from the fountains of God's grace so that then I can bring the young women that I'm discipling there and say, hey, drink with me. Mm-hmm. And dismantling that whole idea that, like, I have to know more and that I have to, you know, have all of the answers and all of that. And just thinking about, hey, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Mm-hmm. That has really helped me in my discipling, and it's really kind of leveled the playing fields where I'm no longer up on a pedestal, you know, trying to for the women that I'm investing in, but instead I'm leveled at the foot of the cross and we're able to acknowledge our shared need for God's grace and to find gospel friendship there.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. That is so good. I think we were talking about earlier how it really is as we sit and whether it is a scripture or whether we've got 20 minutes to sit down or 30 minutes or an hour to sit in His word, to pray, how His word does. It's the input and it's the output that does come out. But then also talk about how when you are sitting in these relational groups, whether it is just two women or you're just in a conversation with a friend, how that the story of scripture, just the gospel mm-hmm. of grace that you're talking about, the whole study that you've written about, the story of scripture, that how the gospel is a fit, and you talked about this, I think, a little bit earlier, a minute ago, how it really does meet us exactly where we are, that mm-hmm. whether we are in a season of just perseverance or just a trial that we find ourselves walking through that's very mm-hmm. unexpected, or in a place where we are seeing just a lot of restoration, a lot of really big just healing take place that God's doing in our lives, mm-hmm. how the how the story of scripture and where whatever we're going through really does speak and play a part in our life. Does that make sense? And so walking through just that fall, walking through or from creation, the beginning, what God did, what he set forth in motion, then to the fall, then to restoration, to consummation. So talk about that, how you've seen that in your own life, if you set with women, but also how practically as we are, wherever we are in season of life that we're find ourselves in, study or just these verses that God's ministering to our heart, how we really can give that as bread of life to whoever we are around.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do. I love that question. I think it can be such an intimidating question to think through, like how do we nestle our lives in the story of what God is doing throughout all of redemptive history. But when you really begin to break it down like you did, just creation, fall, redemption, consummation, that helps me just begin to apply the truths of the gospel to my everyday life. And so often that happens when I interface with a problem, whether it be conflict with a friend or maybe the grief that I'm experiencing as the result of a loss of a loved one, or just, you know, all of the various things that we interface with as we are ministering to others, all of those problems. If you look back at the beginning, we see like, oh, well, we were created by God to glorify him. And when he created us, all was right in the world. It's hard to imagine. But so often when we're looking at those problems, we're thinking, why are we so disrupted by this? And it's like, well, we were actually made to live in perfect fellowship with God. And so it is right that this thing right here is disrupting me, because we were not meant to live this way. We were meant to live in fellowship with God. We were made in his image to glorify him. But then what happened? We all know Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command. They took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did not listen to God's good word. God's word wasn't central in their hearts and lives. And instead, they listened to the words of the serpent. Mm-hmm. And they took that fruit. And then as a result of that, it ushered in brokenness into the world. They were excommunicated from the garden. And now we live in the reality of a sin-ridden world east of Eden. And so many of our problems that we're looking at, it's like, well, this is the reality of living life in a fallen world. And so we can look back to the fall, like you said, and just recognize like what went wrong. Well, our rebellious hearts. And so, so often it's helpful for me just to identify like, what are the things going on in whatever problem I'm navigating that are a result of sin. And then we see, you know, throughout the story, God continues to pursue his people. He continues to extend so much mercy and grace, and yet his people continue to rebel against him until, and I back to Titus, I love the way that Titus 3 verse 4 talks about this, the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared. And when did God's kindness appear to us? Or in Titus 2:11, I believe, talks about God's grace. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. When did the grace of God appear? Mm-hmm. Well, it appeared 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem when God sent his son Jesus in the form of a tiny baby, an unexpected savior, to walk perfectly and to glorify him in the way that we failed to do. Mm-hmm. And to give his life for us so that we then can be made right with God because of his perfect sacrifice when we turn from our sin and trust in him. And so now we're living in between his first appearing and his second. And we see in Titus 2:14, let's see if I got it here, 2:13, actually, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he appeared in Bethlehem and he will appear again. Mm-hmm. And we're living life in between those two appearings, looking forward to his return when he will, like you mentioned, with the consummation piece, come back and make all of the wrongs right. Mm-hmm. And so often when I'm talking to young women or when I'm working through my own personal problems, I'm thinking, where am I at in that spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm living life east of Eden as a result of the fall. I'm experiencing this disruption for whatever reason. But because Christ came, because grace appeared 2,000 years ago, now I can wait with the blessed hope of Christ's return. And so what does it look like for me to look at this present problem with a hope, a face full of hope, knowing that this isn't the way it will always be? One day this wrong, whatever it might be, is going to be made right. And so that's what it looks like for me, and just helping walk women through that as they're facing various problems. I think that's the greatest service we can do in discipling, just helping them to apply the realities of the gospel to the problems that they're facing. I think that's so much more helpful than giving them good advice about whatever problem that it is. Like, we can give good advice, but we want to do both. We want to help them be grounded in the gospel, because ultimately we could give them some tip or trick to try and overcome whatever challenge they're facing. But more than that, we want them to know the hope of Christ in the midst of that challenge. And that's what's going to continue to grow their faith. And the Lord will ultimately work those things out as they keep hoping in him.
Yes. And I love that, because it goes back to what we said at the very beginning, that truly it is the discipleship of that that will shape our theology. And then as we walk through that and we speak and claim and sit and share and feast and all the words.
Wonder at what God's done for us in Christ.
Yes. And then as we walk in the gospel, speaking that over ourselves and over the relationships that are around us, or whatever woman that we get to sit with and talk through, it only makes our heart stronger, you know, and our belief in him stronger, you know.
All of a sudden, then we're able to say, oh, this light and momentary affliction.
Yes.
That's how Paul can say that. You know, so now my problem seems small in light of the redemptive work that God is doing throughout history.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. Okay, well, this has been so great, Hunter.
Oh, yes.
So good.
I always love talking about the gospel.
Yes, and just answering that question is that truly what is our discipleship built on, you know? And that bringing it back to, it really is just Christ himself.
That's right.
It is the word, and that in what we do as we sit in relationship with other women, as we are just on this journey to live out godliness together, that it really is, at the end, our end game is...
That's right.
It's the gospel.
Yeah.
And it really
is. And he
is
the one that will produce the work. And that's what's so wonderful, because we have so much insecurity when it comes to discipling and investing in younger women. And yet if we can teach them what is good, if we can rely on his good word, we know his word doesn't return void.
Yeah.
So we don't have to know everything. We just have to know how to guide the women that we are investing in to his good word, because he knows everything.
So good. So good. Okay. Well, I've so enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Okay. And we will add in the show notes just where you can find Hunter and just some other questions that we'll put in there that we've worked through today. It has been a blessing. We love you, Arkansas Baptist women, and we are praying for you.